kindness towards us that we can be here and enjoy Him. There's an old song that says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And indeed, I stand testimony here of those words that Jesus is indeed sweeter than the day before. As a young child, God had prepared me. And it's a wonderful long story, but I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of the story of where God has called me. And I'm reminded of the hymn that says, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And Psalm 42 is a beautiful psalm. Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground. Indeed, I was sinking in the mud of a religion that has 330 million gods, Hinduism. My grandfather was one of the most famous priests in Pietermaritzburg, very well known amongst the community, and he served a particular temple for almost 56 years of his life. And I looked up to him as a great man, and I looked up to him, and I was going to be a priest, and I wanted to be a priest because of the example that he set, being a stalwart of the religion. My grandmother, every Sunday, would drag me to a Hindu service where they would sing all the hymns and learn all these mantras. And she would drag me with her, and it was boring, really, really boring. And next door to this particular place where they had the service, there was the Sunday school. And they had ice cream and popsicles and cold drinks and popcorn. And here I am sitting in this place with all these old people saying words that I do not even understand. And every week I would go. And every week I'd look at the boys and girls next door having so much of fun. One day my granny took ill and she says, Edwin, you rather go this week. I cannot make it. Please greet everybody for me. So I ran. And then I said, ha, this is a chance. Let me go to where these children are. Popsicles and ice cream and popcorn and all these wonderful things. And I joined them and I was shown love that I've never experienced before. And they spoke about a man named Jesus who loved us. And I can still remember that while we were yet sinners, God showed us His love by sending Christ to die for us. I should not live in fear. I should not live in fear that I had to give off things and be perfect and be smart. And here they showed me love. So my grandmother, I went home and she said, did you go to this? Oh, yes, yes, granny. Was it good? Yes, yes, it was great. And she says, well, I don't have to come with you now. You can go. You're a big boy. So every week I would go, not to the service, but to the Sunday school. And I still remember the very first verse that they taught us at Sunday school. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And I can still remember I wanted to get first prize and top marks, so I wrote the verse behind a ruler. So when they questioned me, I could flip the ruler over and see the verse. Being a Hindu, it was all about being perfect. But here, we had people who showed me love. So I was going to this place and I got to know people and I got to know the teachers and I felt the warmth and I learned more about this Bible and who the God of this Bible is. Until one day, my granny and I were at the shopping center. And there she met a friend and a friend asked her, hi, haven't you seen you in service for a long time? She says, yes, no, my grandson comes along. Your grandson? I haven't seen him there in ages. Uh-oh. And I still remember my granny screaming. She had her hair open. Don't join that hallelujah group. That hallelujah group are crazy people. It will be a curse. It's bad luck to join those people. And at that time, I had chronic asthma. And this morning, it was such a shock and a great surprise to meet Mr. Brian, who used to be the pharmacist who mixed a particular medicine that we used to buy down at Victoria Street. And he gave my father his first New Testament in the 80s. It's only God that I had to meet him here today after all those years. And I still remember buying that horrible medicine to help me cure me from asthma. And he would pray for the medicine before he would give it. And my father thought that was really bad luck to do that, to pray over medicine. And my grandmother would take me to all the temples and all these places that I could be healed and cured, because this is going to be the next priest in the family. This is going to be the guy that's going to carry the mantle. He should not be sick. And one day my mom's sister said, "You've tried everything. Why don't you take him to church?" "Oh no, my mother-in-law will kill us. He'd be dead if he goes to church." So my mom's sister, without the knowledge of my grandmother, took me to a church. And the pastor called those for prayer. And I thought it was a priest. In the Hindu temples, a priest would call you at the end to give you some ash and a blessing. So I just thought it was a blessing. So I went to the front. He prayed for me. And from that day to today, I don't know what asthma is. I've been completely healed from asthma. It is the God Jesus Christ. But God had been preparing me. And when I was healed, my mom says, "You rather go to church. You rather go to that Sunday school." And that's where I learned more about Jesus. My granny refused to speak with me. I did not speak to my granny for almost 4 years. But she still loved me. And we started to speak. And she saw the change in my life. And over time, my father grew away from me. He did not want me to be a Christian. And he said that he does not have a son. I am dead to him. And when I finished varsity, I was asked to leave home. I left home. I lived 15 years away from my family. I did not see my dad for almost 8 years. And then I started to do a Christian radio program on Good News Community Radio in the vernacular. And unbeknown to me, my dad would go into his room, lock the door, and he would listen to that radio program. And one day I went to visit my mom. He ran outside. He shook my hand and he said, "Have a good trip to India." And that was the first time we spoke after 8 years. And hearing to the radio station, listening to the programs, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died a Christian. And my grandmother lived to the age of 96, had all these amulets and all these charms around her, and she believed only in her God. And I would visit her, and she'd hold my hand, and she said, "I'm afraid to die." I said, "Call on Jesus. He would help you." And I still remember it was a Sunday evening. She held my hand and she says, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Tuesday morning, she passed on to be with Jesus. Born a Hindu, she died a Christian. Isn't Jesus wonderful? That he had called me from the muck and mire, from the miry clay, and set my feet on higher ground. But God had a purpose. He had been preparing me. Not to be a priest in the Hindu world, but to be a priest in his kingdom, called out to serve him. And then I started to visit India, fell in love with India, fell in love with a daughter from India. And God had put us together, and now we are living in India, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful when the Word of God tells us everything, all things, work together for the good to them that love the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that God has a plan and a purpose? And what he has done for me, he can do for you. As an old song that says, what he has done for others, he will do for you. And no matter where you are from, whatever culture, creed, race that you are from, God has a plan and purpose for you. Not to see you perish, but to be lavished by his love. And we are in India, serving in India for the last 6 years now. It has been quite challenging. We have three weathers: hot, hotter, and hottest. And this is amazingly beautiful weather here. There have been days in Durban that has been naturally air-conditioned, if I could say. Beautiful weather. The weather in India has never dropped below 30 degrees. During the month of May, we touched 44 degrees. One half of India is underwater, experiencing flood. That's the west part of India. And the east part of India has no rains, and there is a drought, and we have a struggle for water. Now, we do not have water. We have to purchase water. And because of the demand for water, from 400 rands per load, it has shot up to 1,500 rands per load. And where do you find the money to get that? But God provides. And it takes 15 days before the water could reach you because of the supply and demand that is in the city. But by the grace of God, we phone the guy who supplies the water, and within 24 hours, we have our water at home. It's the favor and grace of God that is upon us. And days have been really dark. Days have been really challenging. And there are days we wish we could be back in Durban, wish we could be back with friends and family. And it was during the end of May, the beginning of June, we had to do a program. And it was extremely hot. We were in a tin-roofed building. And Joy and I were in a program. By midday, it was 42 degrees. And Joy would be gulping water and couldn't find out why. Till one evening on a Thursday, she came home and she collapsed. And what's wrong here? She fainted. Just got her washed up and got onto the bed. And the next day, she felt her head spinning. Then 3 days later, we had programs. We still had to go to the program. I said, do you want to go to the doctor? She said, let's finish what we had to do. And on the third day, we went to the doctor. And the doctor said, your sugar is 30. You're still standing. You should be in a coma by now. But by the grace of God, we went to a specialist and he put her on insulin. And for 2 weeks, she was on insulin and God brought the sugar right down to normality. And it was amazing that God touched and healed her, but she could not get into the sun. And here we wondered, Lord, what happens now? We had this program planned in North Karnataka, and that's the western part of India, and there's floods there. We cannot go. We were supposed to go to Calcutta and Joy gets sick. We cannot travel. Lord, why do you close the doors? And then God just says, just be ready. Just be prepared. We got our team ready. We got our team together. And we were wondering, when is the Lord going to open doors? Here we are in ministry and all the doors have closed. Until one day we received a message from one of the chancellors from the most prestigious seminaries in South India. And he comes to our home and he says, Adrian and Joy, I've heard of you. Now I want you to be part of the faculty of a training program for 570 first-generation pastors from 9 different states of India. Now, if I could use the word gobsmacked, I was gobsmacked. I was in amazement. Here we were supposed to go to 2 states and possibly meet about 200 to 250 people, but God had brought people from 9 different states, 570 pastors, first-generation pastors and Bible women, to a place that's right at our doorstep. Isn't Jesus wonderful? And instead of distributing 200 to 300 pieces of literature, by the end of the week, we had sessions that were 6 hours long with 1 hour lunch break in between. 6 of those sessions, they gave us extra sessions from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. at night, and we distributed 3,500 pieces of literature, teaching people how to cast a vision for children's ministries in tribal areas, in villages where there's no churches, how to reach forth to children. And we've seen the hand of God move. So shall we watch that little clip called the Pastors' Conference? And you would see all these pastors come there and the different languages that they have spoken. And as they preach, it would be translated into 5 languages. Thank you. Because of that great need in India, we've had our materials translated in 2 languages, and by the end of this year, we'll have them translated further into 3 different languages of the local people. So we thank God for that, and we also want to thank God for the wonderful opportunity that stemmed out of this conference, that we could go to 22 seminaries all over India sharing the vision about children's ministry. Isn't Jesus wonderful that He can open the doors for us? A wonderful God indeed. Normally when we minister in India, we minister to the outcast, the lowest of the low caste, people who are completely excommunicated from society, people who do jobs that are extremely horrible, like going into sewers and manually cleaning those sewers. But this time around, the Lord provided for us an opportunity to reach out to the higher caste widows of India. They would never enter a church, for to enter a church would mean bad luck. So they would never come into any contact with Christians. And here we had the opportunity of inviting 40 ladies who came for the very first time into a church building. And when they came in, we spoke about Jesus not being their friend, not being their brother, not being their father, but being their son. Because in the culture, The son plays a great role in the life of a mother. He is there to do the last rites of her death. And the son helps and provides for the mother. There's no pensions or grants in India. And some of these widows have been abandoned by their sons. And there they've learned that they have a son that will never leave them nor forsake them. A son that will be their helper. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. Jesus, their son. Let's look at this presentation on the high caste widows hearing the gospel for the very first time. And because of that, incidentally, the church where this program happened, Reverend Brian stayed there when he visited India. And I remember it was a steel bed that they gave him, and it was extremely hot. And the family that hosted him in that particular church went out of the way to find a burger. Can you remember the burgers that we had that night in that particular church? And by the glory of God, to the glory of God, by the grace of God, 8 widows are now attending regularly. Isn't God wonderful? He's so wonderful. I cannot tell you how good God is to us. And India is in a political mess. If you think corruption is bad here, Dave, the big brother, this is the small brother. It's crazy in India. But God is doing great things. And he will build his church. He has a purpose for God's people. And we thank you for your love, for your support, for your prayers. All the way from the hills of Hillcrest, that you can make an impact in the valleys of India. Thank you. If I can summarize the year 2019, it would be Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. God is able to do increasingly, immensely more than we could ever think or understand. God can do abundantly more. And God has done so much more for each and every one of us. He has given us salvation. He has chosen us. And as I close with the last clip, you would see the ministry in India. It's 42 degrees in the shade, and children would be under mango trees, having vacation Bible school, hearing the word. Children for the first time hearing who Jesus is. And as you see the clip, you would see bits of the ministry that has happened this year. And we can say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. God bless you all.